You are listening to Ideas and Leaders Podcast. I'm Elena Paventa, Executive Communication Coach and TEDx Organizer. With each episode, I'll share with you communication tips and ideas from top business leaders to help you excel in your career. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of Ideas and Leaders Podcast. Today, my guest is Shelly Phillips. She's a coach, she's a corporate trainer and motivational speaker, and she's an author of two award-winning books, When in Doubt, Delete It, and Get Noticed, Get Hired. We can see those books for those who are watching us on video. And she helps people to create an authentic personal brand designed to get them noticed and hired. And this is what we're going to speak about today, how to create this great authentic personal brand. Hi, Shelly. It's great to have you on Ideas and Leaders.
Hi, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to sharing with you and your audience today.
So what is this with this personal brand? Why is it important to create a personal brand right now?
So, you know, I like to tell my clients and everything that, you know, we are our own most valuable asset. So our skills and our talents and what we bring to the workforce, it makes us something unique in the workplace. And I, you know, no one's going to pay you what you're worth, only what they think you're worth. And building that personal brand allows you to control how people think about you. And so that's why it's even more important today than it maybe has been in the past, with the great resignation, the great reboot, whatever, you know, they're calling it this week in the media, that what, you know, that there's so many opportunities out there. And now is a great time for you to be positioning yourself for that future in the workplace that you want. It's also something that business owners can use to set themselves apart, because as the owner of the business, you know, they are the face of that organization, and it becomes a brand, you know, in itself. And so how they position themselves can affect the success of that business and whether they attract the right employees or the right clients to themselves.
Yes, definitely. It is so important how people view us. When thinking about personal brand, I know that many people, they say that, oh, I don't want to pretend being someone else. I don't want to be artificial. So what do you think about it? Is it really about creating this perfect image of yourself? Or how can we build our personal brand and at the same time remain authentic and remain true to ourselves and our values?
And being authentic is so important. I mean, everybody can kind of sniff out the phonies. Like, you might get away with it for a couple of weeks or a couple of months, but sooner or later, the old you is going to slip up and show up in there. And then it's going to feel like something is off and people are not going to trust you. And we all know, especially in the business world, like, trust is such a vital component of getting people to work with you, of getting clients. And if you're not trustworthy, then they're not going to want to invest in you or your organization. Yeah. Same thing with employees. And so, you know, I like to say your brand has to represent you. You know, it's got to have a little bit of attitude. It's got to have a little bit of sass. It's got to have a little bit of personality. And, you know, it really is more about what makes you different. It's your differentiator. You know, what is it that you uniquely do? What do you bring to the table that somebody else might not? Or what combination of skills do you have that might not? I tell people, like, if you had a, you know, let's say you were a fitness trainer, and your LinkedIn and your Facebook were all these great motivational postings showing you how to do the correct exercises, showing you the right thing to eat, but your Instagram was all junk food, you laying on the couch, you doing all this kind of stuff, eventually they're going to collide and people are going to be like, which one is the real you and which one do I believe? And when you have those conflicting images and those conflicting stories, then that's where the damage really occurs. So it's not about creating an artificial presence. It's about really coming clear with the idea of the vision of who you are, who you want to be known for, and then being very consistent and very intentional about putting that out there in a way that people will recognize it.
Yeah, this is what I also tell to my students. I teach entrepreneurship at the university, and when I speak about pitching your business idea and presenting yourself to the investor, I always say that when you are pitching your idea, they will listen to your presentation, great, but also they will check your profiles, your LinkedIn profile, your Facebook, your Instagram, and then if they see that there are pictures from parties, for example, then maybe they will think that you are not so serious about your business. So this is what we are discussing. Even I'm discussing with the younger audience already. So how do you think that we can actually start creating our personal brand if we are just beginning to build our presence? What can we do? Which types of social media, and what type of communication do you suggest?
So the first place I would say focusing on is LinkedIn, because for the career-minded person or for the entrepreneur or the business owner, that's where you really want to be. That is the platform that everybody goes to for all things work. So it really is the most important one for you to be focusing on initially. Get that information out there, get a place for people to find you, and then decide what are the other platforms that are going to work best for my business or what I'm trying to accomplish. And, you know, the first step that I tell people, well, actually, there's really two. The first one is all about mindset. You really have to develop that success mindset and take a look at what is it that I want to accomplish. You know, is it changing careers? So if it is, then I need to focus on showing my skills and positioning myself towards the industry that I want to be in. If it's that entrepreneur, then it's going to be more talking about leadership and business development and, you know, my long-term goals and how I'm going to be around for a long time so that people will invest in my product, they'll invest in my business, they'll take a chance on me as somebody new, and people will want to work for me because I'm a great leader, a great motivator, and that kind of thing. And so it's really about first identifying what is it that I want to accomplish with my brand. And then secondly, is the easiest way to get started is to really do some self-reflection. And I tell my clients, you know, find five people and don't let them all be people that you work with, or don't let them all be family, but get a mix of people, maybe someone you go to church with, maybe someone that you work with, maybe someone that's from several years back in your life. And, you know, just get a good mix of people and ask them, what are the first three skills that they think of when they think of you? Or even ask them, what is it that you think I would be good at doing? And, you know, this will give you a list to start working with, and you can tie that in with the list of things that you do currently in the workforce, or that you've learned through school, or that, you know, you're advocating as the role of the entrepreneur. And you can really start to build out a profile that's going to highlight your key assets, and that's going to give you the most worth and value in that workplace. And that's really the easiest way to start, is come up with those list of words that are going to describe you. And I tell people, it's always a little weird talking about yourself. And, you know, a lot of us were raised that, you know, it's impolite to brag about yourself or talk about yourself. And yeah, when you're talking definitely. About creating a personal brand, that's one of the first steps that you have to kind of get over. But there's ways that you can do it that it doesn't come across as braggy or boastful. Like, you're really just sharing, this is what I've accomplished, or this is what the team that I'm working on is doing. And you can do it in a way that will highlight the skills, but not come across as, oh, some egotistical person that I'm having to listen to over and over again. And so that's really, if you start with anything, start with that list and start with a very good, clear idea of what you're wanting to position yourself for.
Yeah, so we need to understand, what do we want to be known for, what we are already known for? Do we want to communicate? And how to get over, because you mentioned this very important thing, in my opinion, I think it is stopping so many wonderful people to they don't build this personal brand because they say that, oh, I don't want to brag about myself, I don't want to speak about myself. What can we do to get over it, to actually start treating our personal brand online as an asset, as a brand, but not as speaking about ourselves?
So I think the first thing you have to get comfortable with is saying it. And, you know, this group of people that I was talking about, the people that are close to you, your circle of friends, is a great place to start. you know, when you come up with your branding statement, your, you know, the personal statement that's going, this is what I'm going to want to communicate. This is the skills that I want to get out there. And you get your branding statement, practice it with people who know you so that it becomes comfortable. So it becomes a part of your language. You know, it's a safe environment. Yeah. I mean, they may tease you here and there, but you know, that's your group of people. They're going to be a safe place for you to talk this through, and you can explain to them what you're doing and why it's important. And then you can start transferring it online. And, you know, online is one of those, it's kind of safe. It's almost a little anonymous because, okay, this is just a profile I'm putting out there. I'm not having to speak it. The video doesn't have to be there to begin with. Start slow if you're uncomfortable with it. You know, just put out that headline, put out that summary statement, fill in some of your LinkedIn and sit with it a little bit and see how it feels. And then as you're comfortable with it, start adding to it and growing. The good thing about your personal brand is it's something that can evolve and grow with you throughout your career. It doesn't have to be perfect right from the start because, you know, I tell my clients a lot of times, what I was at 25 is not what I'm at 50 something now. You know, my brand has evolved because I've learned new skills. I've tried new things. I've been in different positions and all of that becomes who I am. And it's transferred to that brand and how I communicate myself. And that's the great thing about the personal brand is that you can tweak it. It can grow with you. And as your skill sets change, it should evolve and it should change because you don't want to be stagnant. But just get comfortable with putting it out there. You know, a lot of times that invisibility is something that makes people comfortable, you know. And so sometimes before you make the big steps or you make the big moves in business, you have to be a little uncomfortable to get that push and get you going. But when you get it out there, I think it'll resonate because it's going to be true to you and what you're doing. So it's not going to feel artificial. Your friends, your family, your connections are going to see it as you because it's going to be a representation of you. And then I think the more that you grow it and the more that it evolves, the more comfortable that you're going to get presenting yourself in this kind of platform.
Yes, definitely. We don't have to be perfect from the very beginning. So we need to start somewhere, right? And so where do you recommend to start? So we open LinkedIn and what to do, because there are so many things on LinkedIn profile. There are those posts, there are lives, there are parts of the profile recommendations, and it is a lot for a beginner. So where can we start and what are the most important things that we should take care of?
So the first thing right off the bat you want to take care of is the photograph. You want it to be a really clear photograph that looks like you, not something from 20 years ago, not something that has, you know, weird backgrounds or like a lot of people in it. You really want it to be the face of you, you know. And I'm not saying you have to go invest in like professional headshots. You can have a friend, you know, sit there with your phone and take some headshots on a neutral colored wall and, you know, try some outfits that you feel comfortable in. What are the colors that are good for you? You know, anytime that we're dressed in colors that we love and that show up and are vibrant, it gives us a little extra energy and that's going to show up in that picture. So you want a really good picture that's really clear and it really is just head, neck, shoulders kind of thing, you know, just a really good professional shot of you. And then the first place I tell people to focus on is the headline. Make it something that's attention getting, that it doesn't read just like everybody else's that someone's going to scroll through. The next piece is really that summary area. I call it the high value real estate on LinkedIn, because the thing about that summary area is that it gives you a chance to tell your story. And it really should be first person. And that's hard for some people to write that way. Again, like we're talking about ourselves again. So it's kind of an uncomfortable kind of thing. But that's the place that you can really get into. Why do I want to do this? Why is this something I'm passionate about? What is my background and what do I bring to the table that makes me excited to pursue this opportunity? I was working with one of my clients the other day and he was leaving a financial field and wanted to move into real estate. And as we talked about him building out his profile and everything, one of the things that I learned was that he got interested in real estate when he was a young kid. His father had rental property. And he used to go with him and work on them and fix it and do the handyman stuff with his dad and everything. And it'd been part of his life. And he just loved fixing things and helping people. And he made friends with the people that were in the, you know, the homes that his dad was renting out and everything. And so his secondary passion is now, I want to help people find their second homes and their vacation homes so that they can really enjoy family and love life. But it really goes back to that time as a kid where he got interested in property and how do I do second properties and all this kind of stuff. And so I really encouraged him to tell that story in his profile. And it's very powerful because people connect with you on a personal level then. They can, you know, stories are what connects us. It's what gives us those emotions and those feelings. And that's really how the connections grow and build. So if I had to say three places to start with your photo, start with your headline, and then really work on that summary area and make sure it includes some stories that really will draw people to you.
Well, now as I'm listening to you, I'm already planning what I will change on my LinkedIn profile. I don't have a story, you know, but I need to add one. So very, very good that you mentioned that. Yeah, so definitely when I see a very good looking picture and an intriguing headline, I'm interested immediately. So, and I start reading more. So exactly what you're saying. And what about the other part? So there are recommendations and there is the whole bio and then we can put the places where we work. So do you recommend to put as many information as possible there? Because I know that many people, they have this block that they don't want to tell everything about them. So it's like my whole life will be there and it will be public. So do you think that it is a good thing to have more information or it's better to have less information?
So I'm going to catch this. It depends on what phase of your career you're in, I think. If you're just starting out, you're going to want to include as much information that shows your well-roundedness as an employee and what, you know, like if your skills are coming from different places for the position that you're applying for, you probably want to include more. As we become more seasoned in our career and we're very focused on what we want and where we're going and that kind of thing, you can delete some of the earlier ones or some of the ones that might not really play into, you know, it was a great learning experience, but maybe those skills are not what I'm using anymore for this, you know, you can be a little bit more focused as we move throughout our career. The thing I say too is like, make sure that area when you're talking about your work experience doesn't read like a job posting. I would say never have more than three or four bullets with each work experience. And really let them be things that are quantitative or achievements that you actually did while you were there. People love things they can verify or that sound like facts. And so, you know, if I can say I increased viewership of our company website by 120% while I was, you know, working as a social media coordinator, then, you know, that's impressive to someone. They can actually say this is quantitative. It's more eyes on my page and their skills brought them there. You know, it might also be someone working in a warehouse situation that I saved the organization 10% of our X dollar budget in coming up with a new process to track widgets so that we knew how many we had and what we were doing so we weren't over ordering. You know, there's a lot of things that you can do to really highlight the skills that you want to highlight and show that, yes, I'm bringing this to the table and I have a proven track record. And it's not, oh, I file every day. I answer the phones every day. I handle customer complaints. You like really make it more about the effect that you had for that organization and not your day-to-day job. And then, of course, there's the recommendations and endorsements area. And those are great. And then the younger that you are, LinkedIn now offers you the ability to take exams or take some tests to verify that you have skills in some of the areas that you see. And they'll give you little badges that you can put on there and be like, this is a LinkedIn verified skill. That's a great way if you're starting out or if you're going back into the workforce after a break and maybe you're shifting careers a little bit, that you can show someone that, you know, I have invested in this training, that I have someone else other than me saying that I know what I'm talking about and that I'm good at this kind of skill. The endorsements, I say, are some of the biggest things. It's just like your references on your resume. If someone is looking at working with you or maybe inviting you to speak or maybe, you know, thinking about investing in you, they want to see that other people think that you're a good risk. And so the easiest way to grow that area is to endorse someone else and send them a note and say, hey, I'm endorsing you for this because we've worked together on this and I want people to know that I think you have great skills here. Would you consider returning the favor? And you can give them the link to your profile. And then they can do the endorsement right back. And a lot of people worry that that's a little overstepping, overreaching. I haven't found that to be the case. In fact, a lot of people, you know, it's just the little nudge, like they just don't think during their day, I need to go on there and find some people and help them out, whatever. But most people are really willing to help you and they want to see you succeed. So if they can do this small little piece and you've made it easy for them by saying, here's the link and here's what I said about you, most people will be very gracious and they will turn around and do that endorsement for you.
Yes. And I think that it is really important to contact people from actually who know you and who can recommend and endorse you for something real. Because sometimes, for example, it happened with me that some people reached out to me on LinkedIn and they asked me for a recommendation, but I don't really know them. So we were kind of working a little bit together, but it was a long time ago. And I don't remember what about mm-hmm. anything about this person. So it is, but I had situations when people who I really know and I worked with asked me for endorsement, and I'm doing it eagerly always, because as you said, it is just a pleasure to help someone to grow in their careers. Yeah. And Shelley, I wanted to ask you also about the situation, not only when we're looking for a job, when we are promoting ourselves from out there, but also sometimes we're working in a company and we want to get noticed, we want to get promoted, we want the next position. Do you have any recommendations on what we can do to grow within our organization?
Yes, visibility is so important in today's workplace. It's one of those things, the squeaky wheel always gets the grease, right? So if you're in an organization where you have a supervisor and they're dealing with, say, a group of 25 employees or something like that, how are you going to stand out? How are you going to get on the radar for the right reasons? A lot of the times the supervisor is just, okay, if everything's going well, everything's great, and I'm dealing with the things that are a problem. So you want to start out early on in your career becoming that person that's known for, I'm not a problem, I'm a solutions-oriented person, and I'm going to be your problem solver. And when I work with younger clients, especially those right out of college, taking their first, you know, their first big career jobs and getting started, one of the things that I always tell them to do is on Monday morning, when you show up, send your boss an email and say, here are the 5 things that I'm working on this week. And then, you know, put in there, if this is not the direction that you think I need to be going, please let me know. And I'm happy to alter whatever I need to be working on. And then if you already have some projects going on, you can give them a little update on this is where XYZ stands. So what you're doing is when that supervisor gets called to their staff meeting, they have these updates right in front of them. They're not having to hunt for them. You know, you become that person that's providing them resources and answers that they're not having to go out of their way to fix. They also know what you're working on. And if it isn't, they can go ahead and get you going in the right direction, but you become that self-starter. I'm self-motivated. I'm doing these things. I want to be part of the team. I want to try new things and new skills and that kind of thing. And you're getting on the radar for the right reasons. And then I tell my clients, if you'll follow up on Thursday, not Friday, because everybody's trying to get out of the office, but follow up on Thursday and say, this is what I've accomplished this week. Here's what I'm thinking about next week. Does that follow along with what you think I need to be doing? And then any other wrap up on any other kind of project that you might have finished up that week. So you're starting the week top of mind that are doing all these great things. And then you're ending the week top of mind, but you're also setting the stage for another productive good week the next week. And if you'll build that into your work plan, what you're doing, I promise you, your supervisors are going to be very excited to have you on their team, because you're going to be that person that they begin to rely on for information. You're going to be the person that they know they can count on that is focused and doing the work that needs to be done. And, you know, the larger the organization that you work for, the more important that visibility is, because, you know, if you're in a small department of 2 or 3 people, it's not hard to get on somebody's radar and say, look what I'm doing. I've accomplished this. You know, they see what you're doing day in and day out. But the larger the organization is and the more people that are between you and that supervisor or between that middle manager or whatever, the more you really need to be intentional about make sure that people see you for what you're doing. It goes back to what I said. It's all about getting paid what you're worth. And you want them to think of you as that worthy employee that is providing this value to this organization.
Yeah, I think that there is a problem that is stopping people, because they might think that, oh, if I contact my supervisor, if I say that I'm doing this, I have done that, and maybe they will give me more work. They will think that I'm super active and that I already did everything on Thursday, so I will get something additional for Friday. I think that there is this mindset that if I sit quietly, no one will notice me, and no one will bother me with additional tasks. So what do you think? What is more important, this visibility or sitting quiet and not getting any additional job?
You know, it's what you said. It's like no one will notice me. You know, if they're not going to notice you when it comes time for promotion or it comes time for other opportunities, they're not going to notice you then either. And so, you know, it's just that chance that you take is like, yes, they might say, oh, they're doing such a great job. I can trust them to handle a little bit more responsibility. But in the end, that's probably what we're looking for to make ourselves that promotable person, is we want to know more about the organization. We want to build those relationships between departments and that kind of thing, so that when other opportunities come about, people recognize us and say, oh, we want somebody that is as driven as they are to be working on our projects as well. And so sometimes that I don't want to be noticed, I don't want to draw attention to myself, can be more the mindset that I'm not good enough, or I might not be where they want me to be yet, so I'm just going to sit quietly. It's that what imposter syndrome that a lot of people say, you know, it might be holding us back, when in reality, you're doing great things. You may not think you're doing as much as the person in the cubicle next to you or the office next to you, but in reality, you might be running circles around them, and it's all in your head. And so if you do sit quietly and you never put yourself out there, then it's not going to be surprising when you're not top of mind, when they start looking at who are our rising stars, who do we want to get involved, who needs to be our next level of promotions that we're having to go through.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So we need to break through this imposter syndrome that we have, all of us have a little bit, that and need to get out there and build our personal brand outside of our organization, in social media, but also within our organization as well. So Shelly, thank you very much for all your insights. Would you like to share something in the end for our listeners to sum up? What are the most important aspects of building a personal brand?
Yeah. So one thing I'll say is, talking about visibility, I want to end on that because I think it's so important for people in the workforce today, is the biggest mistake that people make when they're looking, you know, they have the mindset that I want to be promoted and I'm not sure how to do it. The biggest mistake they make is not telling someone. So when you have the opportunity to interact with your boss or your supervisor, whether it's a mid-year review or whether it's an end of the year review, is like, be bold, make that statement, is that I want you to consider me for more opportunities as they come around, and ask that question, are there skills I should be working on to prepare myself for that next step? You know, it doesn't have to be a negative. These evaluation periods can really be positive interactions between you and your supervisors. If you come, you know, with that little bit of courage and that little bit of confidence and say, I want you to know, I feel like I'm doing a good job, and I'm, and I want to be here, and I want to be the person that you consider for that next move. So what do I need to do to make that happen? You know, a lot of times supervisors are only trying to fix problems. And when they have somebody that comes and they show a little bit of interest and a little bit of enthusiasm, it'll reignite them as well, because it makes them feel like I have a team that's really going for it, that I have people that I can invest in, that people will respond to what I'm doing. And it's twofold. You're not only helping yourself, you're helping that leader. And when you position that leader very well, they bring people with them throughout their journey. And so, you know, make those connections. Don't be afraid to speak out and let people know what your ambitions are. I tell a lot of women, you know, a lot of times, ambition's not a bad word. You know, I mean, we all should be ambitious. Like, we should all be striving for what is the next thing for us, whether it's a family related thing, whether it's a career related thing, whether it's opening our own business, whether it's doing these kind of things. Have that courage and take that step and show people that this is what I'm interested in doing.
Yes, absolutely. We need to have this ambition to go forward, and yeah, especially in building our personal brands and within our organizations and outside as well. Thank you so much, Shelley, for sharing this with us. It is very inspiring, and I'm sure that we learned a lot from this episode. So if our listeners want to contact you, to find you, where can we find you?
So yes, they can visit my website, shelleyphillips.com. If you're interested in growing your visibility, I have a freebie right now that's out there. That's a what I call a visibility planner that'll walk you through some of the roadblocks that you might encounter. And it's shelleyphillips.com/planner. Super easy. Just download it and fill it out and walk yourself through your journey. And it'll help you even come up with how to have the conversation with your supervisor. And then, of course, I'm on all the social media platforms, but I'm extremely active on LinkedIn, which is where I post all of my career and corporate training tidbits and everything else through there. So I would love for you to connect with me there.
Great. I will definitely put the links to your profiles and to your freebie under the episode so that our listeners can immediately click there and download your planner. Thank you so much, Shelley, for being on Ideas and Leaders. It was a very interesting conversation.
Thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to Ideas and Leaders podcast. Did you enjoy this episode? Let me know that you listened by tagging me in your LinkedIn profile and using a hashtag Ideas and Leaders. See you in the next episode.